Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Monday morning to you. Monday that is coming off of a very entertaining and telling championship weekend as well. And we'll break it down here in just a couple of minutes. I appreciate you all tuning in. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people can get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loan truck drivers out there. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local, lost my train of thought there, all my local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. We got it back now. We're all good. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local funeral home workers and, of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. There's a very noisy fan in the studios right now. It's actually pretty distracting, but I'll turn it off at the break. We can make it through this segment with it. But anywho, I hope you all had a great weekend, and I hope you all enjoyed the NFC and AFC championship games, because that's what we got to get to, and that's what we got to talk about. Two very different games from when you talk about the NFC and AFC championship games. And look, I'm not calling myself a prophet or anything, and I'm not, you know, saying I'm the smartest dude in the room, but a lot of what I said on Friday came to pass on Sunday. I just had a feeling, and no, it's not because my girlfriend is an Eagles fan. It's not the reason why, but I just had a feeling that the Eagles were going to have a solid hold on that game for most of the game. Now, I did not expect it to be a 22-point win, 32-point win, 55-23 was the final score, right? Eagles beat the Commanders to head to the Super Bowl, their second Super Bowl appearance in 3 years. So, look, I mean, I didn't expect it to be that big of a gap between the Commanders and the Eagles. Like I said, I expected the Eagles to win, and I expected the Eagles to have control of the game throughout the game. Again, if I go back to what I said on Friday, I think around a 10 to maybe 14 point hold on the game throughout most of the game. Now, obviously, there were times where it was a one-score game, and there were times where the Commanders had their opportunities to threaten and things of that nature. And so there were times, obviously, the game was in question a little bit, but, I mean, it just felt like the Eagles throughout that game had a very good hold on it. And then in the second half, I mean, they really just ran away with it. And I mean, what can you say about Saquon Barkley? first play of the game. His first two touches of the game were touchdowns. That one 60-yard run he had on the Eagles, what, first play from scrimmage? And then he had his second touch was like a one-yard touchdown run. But two touches and two touchdowns, that's pretty efficient if you're Saquon Barkley. So he had himself a great night. And then Jalen Hurts, he balled out as well. And he just continues to win and show off that winning pedigree that really he's had since college. Did a lot of winning at Alabama, did a lot of winning at Oklahoma, and now he's doing a lot of winning in the NFL. So one thing you call Jalen Hurts is a loser because he just continually has gotten the job done throughout his college and now NFL career, getting to his second Super Bowl in 3 seasons. And look, it was a really, really good season for Commanders, and they were ahead of schedule this season. That is the one thing you can look to, and I don't think any Washington Commanders fan should be upset about what happened or upset about how this season went for them because, again, nobody expected them to make it to the NFC Championship game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl in Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn's first season at the helm. I mean, nobody expected them to have the success that they had this season, and for them to get to where they got to, I think is impressive. So you got to tip your hat to Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn, and you got to think they're going to be in this position. I know it's hard to get back, but you at least feel like they're going to be well set up to be back in this position for at least a few years now. Especially while Jaden Daniels is on this rookie contract, they'll be able to bring in free agents, bring back, you know, big-time free agents that they want to bring back on the team, and then obviously go out and get guys and make upgrades at the positions they want to make upgrades at because they'll have plenty of cap space because they're not paying their quarterback a whole bunch of money yet. So you got to feel like the Commanders are in a very, very good position with where they're at. They got some young talent on offense, too, with Brian Robinson, obviously. And, you know, the future is bright for the Washington Commanders, to say the least. It's always bright when you got a rookie quarterback that you found out that you know can play. So that's the good news for the Washington Commanders, but obviously it hurts. And Jaden Daniels said as much after the game. You probably saw it. He said, this ish hurts, man. You know, he didn't say ish, but you get what I'm saying. He said, this sugar honey iced tea hurts. So obviously when, you know, you're a competitor and you have come as far as the Commanders have, you know, it's what they always say. You ain't come this far to get close. Obviously, these guys want to get to the Super Bowl. They felt they were good enough to get to the Super Bowl. And when you come up short, obviously that isn't going to feel great. But, again, there should be no shame from those players to those coaches to Commanders fans about what they were able to do this season. But for the Philadelphia Eagles, this team is dangerous. They are playing some of their best ball right now on really in all three phases. Special teams comes up with a turnover again, a takeaway again on kickoff. Remember they did that on the first kickoff of the game in the Green Bay game in the divisional round. They were able to take down the Packers by getting the fumble to start off the game. It was an Owen Burks who took over for N'Kobe Dean at that middle linebacker spot, and he's played well there. He forced that fumble on that first kickoff in that Green Bay game, and that helped propel them to a victory, and then they do it again yesterday. So this team has just been really good at creating takeaways on special teams. They got takeaways on defense yesterday as well, and then obviously Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. I mean, they were running roughshod all over the Washington Commanders yesterday. They ran for 229 yards as a team. Will Shipley even got into the action. He had 4 carries for 77 yards and a touchdown. And, of course, a lot of that yardage came on that 57-yard run that he had. But Jalen Hurts had 3 touchdowns on the ground. Saquon Barkley, 3 touchdowns on the ground. And then Will Shipley, as I told you, had the one as well. So 7 rushing touchdowns for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then that ground game is just tough to stop. That offensive line is so good. They didn't have – so it was crazy because Cam Jurgens didn't start the game with back tightness. So thought he was going to end up being out for the game. And then we saw Landon Dickerson, who played center in college at Alabama. He ends up getting a little banged up with his knee. And then, if I'm not mistaken, well, I don't think Cam Jurgens was actually able to come in. But I don't know why I thought Cam Jurgens actually tried to, like, come in the game or something like that. But anywho, they were on a few backup offensive linemen, and they still, again, ran for 229 yards on the ground behind that offensive line. So not only are their starters good, but that offensive line has some good depth to it as well. So, I mean, they are just playing some really good ball at the perfect time. And then if you talk about this Philadelphia Eagles defense as well, they end up getting three sacks on Jaden Daniels, which the Lions didn't end up sacking him once. So to get three on Jaden Daniels is really, really good. And they were just making play after play after play. Four tackles for loss as well for this Eagles defense. And then we talked about the turnovers they were able to get. Quinyon Mitchell gets an interception. He comes up with a big takeaway. And then the Eagles were also, again, able to force some fumbles and come up with some fumbles. Zach Bond, Reed Blankenship. So, I mean, this whole entire Eagles team, you feel like, is just at the top of their game right now and clicking on all cylinders at the time you want to see them click on all cylinders. And like I was saying at the beginning of the segment, I just didn't think the Commanders had an answer for Saquon Barkley, and they didn't. I didn't think the Commanders had an answer for this Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, and they didn't. Again, 229 yards on the ground and seven rushing touchdowns show that. They couldn't stop the tush push. They couldn't stop they couldn't stop the Eagles from breaking off any long runs. They just got manhandled up front. And that's, again, the bread and butter of this Philadelphia Eagles team. When your bread and butter is the trenches, you're going to be a really, really good football team and a really successful football team. And then, again, defensively, the Eagles made plays, got takeaways. We saw the Lions weren't really able to do that against the Commanders, not at least not to the extent that the Eagles did it. So the Eagles just dominated the line of scrimmage. And when you do that, you're more than likely going to win the football game every time. And then when you dominate the line of scrimmage, plus win the turnover battle, just like the Eagles did, there's a 99.9% chance you're going to win the football game. And the Eagles did just that and won it handily 55-23. So, again, we're going to have a Super Bowl rematch, and we'll talk about that coming up as well. But this Eagles team, it's going to be a little bit different than what we saw a couple years ago, because I feel like the Eagles trenches are even better. And obviously the running back and Saquon Barkley even better than when the Eagles and the Chiefs met up in the Super Bowl just a few years ago. And speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, that game, the AFC Championship game, was a lot closer and a lot more entertaining, I guess to say, at the end, because we all knew that game was in hand for the Eagles, you know, well into the fourth quarter, or really even into the third quarter for that matter. But switching over to the AFC Championship game, and we'll talk about it more on the other side of the break too. Only got a minute coming up here. But the Chiefs take down the Buffalo Bills again in the postseason. The Chiefs are now 4-0 against the Bills in the postseason. They're 0-4 in the regular season, but they're winning the games when it counts in the postseason. They take down the Buffalo Bills 32-29. Patrick Mahomes and that offense get some crucial first downs to ice the game away. And look, what I said kind of came to pass there too, as far as the AFC Championship game. I told you the Bills were going to be able to score enough to keep up with them, and they did, but that defense couldn't get the stops they need, and they couldn't get that one stop they needed at the end of the game to at least give Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills a chance to maybe even tie it up or win the game. And instead, Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs offense was able to stay on the field, get the first downs, and run that clock out, and they are AFC champs yet again. Third time in a row, they're AFC champions, and now they're going to be looking to win their third straight Super Bowl and be the first ever NFL team to three-peat. But, again, they're going to have a very tough Philadelphia Eagles team in the way 2 weeks from yesterday. And I'll give you my initial thoughts on Super Bowl 59, and as well, we will continue to break down the AFC Championship game also. That's coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Thank you and shout out to everybody that is tuned in, tapped in, that is on their way to work or already at work. Thank you and shout out to everybody that is tuned in and tapped in, that is on their way to the gym or already at the gym. I appreciate you. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app, because if you are liking what you hear so far, if you're liking the show and you like to listen to the radio station and you like to listen to my show, but you're usually not up this early in the morning, guess what? You don't have to listen to my show live at 5 a.m. every day. I would love it if you did, but if you want to listen to the show but not up that early, guess what? All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app, search 92.9 The Game, find my show, The Hometown Take, and you'll be able to listen whenever and wherever you are in the world. You can listen at 5 p.m. if you want to. All you got to do, again, is find my show, The Hometown Take, after you search 92.9 The Game, and you'll be able to listen to my show in its entirety, whenever you want, 5 p.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., whenever you want to. You can do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. You can go back and listen to all the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in their entirety. You can go back and listen to your favorite interviews. You can go back and listen to your favorite segments. You can do all that with the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. And I'm glad Day-Day played that song, too. I did want to also mention and send out thoughts and prayers to the family of DJ Unk. Obviously, the news came down that he passed away. And, again, just untimely, obviously. And you just hope that his family is doing all right, and just want to send thoughts and prayers to his family. Obviously, it was huge here in the music scene of Atlanta, and I had huge hits. So just wanted to say rest in peace to DJ Unk, and wanted to send thoughts and prayers out to his family. But moving on here, obviously we're recapping championship weekend here that happened yesterday in the NFL. And we will see the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. They just met up a couple of years ago, 2 years ago to be exact. They met in, what, Super Bowl 57 out there in Arizona, in Phoenix. So it should be a fun rematch. I am very interested to see how this one goes. The last matchup between the two a couple of years ago went down to the wire, and I expect this one to be much of the same. And, again, I think the Eagles have a really good chance to win, just to give you some initial thoughts. And we'll talk more about the AFC Championship game in just a minute. But just my initial thoughts on the Super Bowl, I think the Eagles are better up front now than they were back then on the offensive line and defensive line. Now, we'll have to find out just the health status of Cam Jurgens and Landon Dickerson. You know, obviously they got time to heal up a little bit now, so that should fare well for the Eagles. So they should be able to have all their starters across the offensive line. Their defensive line has been playing well, so I think they should be able to fare well. Last time, instead of Saquon Barkley, at Miles Sanders, that's obviously an upgrade, no shade, just truth. So I think that fares well for them too. But look, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they know how to get it done, and that Chiefs team has upgraded as well too in some spots. They got Hollywood Brown now. They got DeAndre Hopkins, Juju Smith-Schuster. Xavier Worthy, who had a big game yesterday. And Kareem Hunt has looked like he's found the fountain of youth, and he's playing like he is back when his back to playing when he was a rookie in Kansas City. So that should be very interesting. Oh, by the way, I did not see this. This is completely off the beaten path, but Jewel Lloyd gets traded to the Las Vegas Aces for Kelsey Plum, who she's going to end up going to the Sparks in a three-team deal. That just is coming down across the TV. And the Seattle Storm, who are losing Jewel Lloyd, get the second overall pick from the Sparks, a first-round pick from the Aces, and center Lee Yarou. So very
– they broke up the Beatles, man.
They done broke them up. I mean, you know, obviously they still got Asia Wilson, but obviously Kelsey Plum now gone off to the Sparks. So, man, that's a huge, huge deal.
I'm not too mad at the Jewel Lloyd get back four.
Yeah.
For the Aces, but yeah,
right.
I loved seeing that core
right
for the Aces.
Yeah, that was a fun core to watch for sure. So, definitely a huge shakeup in the land of the WNBA. So, I just saw that come across the screen, so I wanted to bring that news to you. So, and Day Day, thank you for the insight on that as well. So, we'll see how that ends up faring out. But getting back to the NFL, let's talk about the AFC Championship game a little bit more, because we didn't get a chance to really dive in and sink our teeth into that. The Kansas City Chiefs, just in case you're just joining, beat the Buffalo Bills at home in Arrowhead. Final score 32-29. The Chiefs have the ball last and get a few first downs to run out the clock. And again, it's exactly what I thought was going to end up happening. I knew the game would be close. I knew Buffalo would do enough to keep it close offensively. My question was, defensively, would the Bills be able to get that one stop that they needed? Would they be able to get more stops on Kansas City than Kansas City could get on them? And the answer to that was no. The Chiefs were able to get more stops, more takeaways than the Bills were. So that was a very fun game. Just two really good quarterbacks going at it. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen both having really good games. And the roles were like slightly reversed a little bit, because Josh Allen, he did enough with his legs, but he really did a lot of damage with his arm. And, I mean, that's not a surprise. You know, Josh Allen, he is a very good runner and thrower of the football. But we expected if anybody was going to have a big day, you know, with their legs, it would more so be Josh Allen than Patrick Mahomes. And the roles were kind of reversed there. Patrick Mahomes had a pretty big day with his legs, had 43 yards, two touchdowns. And Josh Allen, he was around the same, had those same 11 runs, 11 carries, whatever you want to call it. But instead of 43 yards, he had 39 yards. But he didn't have the two touchdowns like Patrick Mahomes had, though. So there you have it. But Josh Allen did have a good day, though. 22 of 34, 237 yards, two touchdowns. Should have had an interception on that first drive, but he got lucky with two drops. Because he threw two passes that both could have been intercepted, but he got bailed out there. But still, it was a game, again, by the Kansas City Chiefs, where they just stepped up when they had to, and certain guys stepped up when they had to. Xavier Worthy had a big game. Six receptions, 85 yards. He had a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster had a big catch. Hollywood Brown kind of got things started for that offense, getting some big catches early, making some tough catches early. Kareem Hunt, like I said, looked like he found the fountain of youth, and it looked like we were watching the Kareem Hunt back when he was a rookie with the Kansas City Chiefs. He had 17 carries, 64 yards, and a touchdown. So these Chiefs, man, they are just battle-tested, and they just have that championship pedigree, and they just know when to turn it on. And that just goes, and it feels like it's contagious throughout the entire team, because guys just make plays when they're supposed to and when they need to. Xavier Worthy, he's a rookie. He hasn't been here for those last two Chiefs Super Bowls, but that championship pedigree, again, contagious. It moves throughout the locker room, and everybody gets infested with it. And he made big plays and had a big game yesterday. So, again, for the Bills, they just couldn't get enough stops. They just couldn't stop the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes was able to use his legs when he needed to and, you know, make some plays in the red zone, get those couple of rushing touchdowns. Kareem Hunt was big in the run game. That offensive line for the Chiefs with a couple of all pros on it were able to push the Bills forward when they really needed to. And so it was a back and forth affair. But again, when you have a game that close, you just feel like the Chiefs are going to find a way to win it no matter what. And that's what they did. And look, the Bills didn't have necessarily a bad game. It's just they ended up making more mistakes than the Chiefs did because James Cook had himself a nice game. He played well, 13 carries, 85 yards. He had two touchdowns. Again, Josh Allen had the two touchdowns on the ground. How about Mac Hollins? He had a big touchdown reception. He had a nice game. He got made some big catches, three receptions for 73 yards. So that was big. But Ray Davis did end up recovering a fumble along with Ed Oliver. Ray Davis recovered his own fumble, but Ed Oliver recovered a fumble. So, I mean, that was good. Josh Allen put the ball on the ground three times, and even though he recovered all three, that put them back in that messed them up, and they're down in distance. So, again, even though they weren't necessarily turnovers, they messed them up in the down and distance. So, whenever you do that and you help this Kansas City Chiefs defense out, That's not going to be good. This Chiefs defense is plenty good. You don't need to help them out by putting the football on the ground. And we saw that again three times from Josh Allen, once from Ray Davis. So it was just a little bit cleaner of a football game from the Chiefs than it was the Bills. And then obviously the Bills had a chance at the end. Josh Allen threw up that prayer that somehow got to Dalton Kincaid, and Kincaid tried to adjust on the ball late, but couldn't end up making the catch. Goes through his arms, and so that was a tough break for the Bills, and you need to make plays like that to beat the Chiefs, point blank period. So, again, just Chiefs made more plays at the end, offensively and defensively, and the Chiefs, yet again, moving on to the Super Bowl. So, this has been a heck of a run by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am very, very excited to see this Super Bowl in, again, the upcoming weeks that's going to be out there in NOLA. So I think it should be a fun, fun time and a fun, fun matchup for the Chiefs and the Eagles. But defensively for the Chiefs, like I said, they made a lot of plays, even though they didn't necessarily get any takeaways either. They just they were able to control the line of scrimmage, get some push when they had to, got two sacks, three tackles for loss on Josh Allen, and again, it was more so the miscues by the Bills. Again, three fumbles from Josh Allen, and even though he recovered them all, again, still put them back and down in distance, and that hurt them at the end because we know this Chiefs defense is locked down enough. But you can't say enough about the playmaking of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and Xavier Worthy had a big game as a rookie. So you can't say enough about what this Chiefs offense is able to do when they're called upon, how they're able to just make big plays when they're called upon. So, I mean, it's just impressive how the Chiefs are just able to step up when the lights are the brightest and, you know, get the job done seemingly no matter what the situation is. So, and for the Buffalo Bills, you got to feel for them too. It's tough because they just cannot get over that Kansas City Chiefs hump. Josh Allen is now 0-4 against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs, and you feel for him because, again, it was one of those situations where, well, they did have a chance at the end. Dalton Kincaid just couldn't make that catch, but then your defense had a chance to get a stop. They could have got a stop. You could have got the ball back with some time left, but Patrick Mahomes, that offense, did what they had to do and got the job done. So, once again, it'll be Chiefs and Eagles meeting up in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, and that should be a fun, fun matchup. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take about 6 minutes from now, the Falcons, we got some Falcons news we got to talk about. They make some additions to their coaching staff. We'll tell you about that, and we'll also update you on the NFL coaching carousel throughout the NFL because a couple of surprising moves and changes were made, and we got to tell you about that. Coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a hometown take live in the Kia studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Monday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Thank you to everybody that is tuned in and tapped in right now that is on their way to work or already at work. Thank you. Appreciate everybody that is tuned in and tapped in right now that is on their way to the gym or already at the gym to get them good endorphins flowing. I appreciate you as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms and follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. We got to get into a little bit of Falcons news as they made some moves and added to their coaching staff over the weekend. And they made two additions to their defensive coaching staff. So over the weekend, the Falcons announced that they have hired Mike Rutenberg and Nate Ollie to their coaching staff. Mike Rutenberg is going to be the Falcons' defensive pass game coordinator, while Nate Ollie is going to be the defensive line coach. So a little bit about both. Let's first start with Rutenberg. He spent the 2024 season as the Jets linebackers coach. Same position he accepted back in 2021 when former head coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, built his initial staff. So the Jets, just to brag a little bit about Mike Rutenberg and the Jets defense that he was a part of, they're the only team in the NFL that ranked in the top five in total defense and pass defense in each of the last three seasons. And in terms of total yardage, they were number five in 2022. They were number three in 2023, also number three again in 2024. And with passing, the Jets were number three in 2022 as well, number two in 2023, and number four in 2024. So they've had, again, some top defenses, especially when it comes to the passing game, and that helps to who was the linebackers coach then. And the defensive pass game coordinator now for the Falcons, Mike Rutenberg. So that looks good on him, and we know the Jets' defense has been pretty good over these last few years. They've had some nice talent over there, and hopefully Mike Rutenberg can not only bring some of that defensive knowledge and defensive prowess, but maybe, just maybe, he can bring some of those defensive free agents over. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in particular tomorrow, some of the free agents that possibly could follow Jeff Ulbrich, Mike Rutenberg, and Nate Ollie, who we're talking about in a second. Maybe, just maybe, they can bring some of those defensive free agents from the Jets over here, kind of like how Ryan Nielsen did with Caden Ellis. But, again, we'll get into more of that tomorrow. But that's a little bit on Mike Rutenberg. Let's touch a little bit on Nate Ollie now as well. Ollie spent the 2024 season as the Houston Texans' assistant defensive line coach, and he helped lead that unit to only allow 11 rushing touchdowns. That's the fourth fewest in the league. And he helped the Texans get to the fourth most sacks in the NFL with 49. The Texans also had the 11th best run defense, only allowing 1,938 yards throughout the entire season. And then before joining the Texans, Ollie was the defensive line coach for the Colts from 2022 to 2023. And so him leading the defensive line room is not something new to him. He has held that title before. And again, even though the Colts weren't so good back then, their personnel also wasn't great. But, you know, that wasn't a great time for the Colts either. But I like the two hires. I think they can end up being good. And again, Jeff Ulbrich does have history with both of these guys because I believe Ollie was with the Jets at some point. I think he was back with the Jets back in 2021. Yeah, because they were both, Rutenberg and Ollie were both with the Jets in 2021 along with Ulbrich. And so there's familiarity there with both guys. And look, hopefully Ollie can help this defensive line build upon what they were able to find after the bye week, where they really started racking up the sacks, the Falcons defensive line did. So hopefully he can help build upon that with Jeff Ulbrich and Raheem Morris. But I like both the hires. It's just a matter of Jeff Ulbrich getting there, getting guys he likes and getting guys he's familiar with and trusts in. So I'm here all for it. And they were there while the Jets had a top defense. And so hopefully, again, he can help bring, they can, all three of these guys, and Ulbrich, Mike Rutenberg, and Nate Ollie can help bring all that to Atlanta as well and help give Atlanta a top defense again. So very interested to see, again, what kind of changes could be coming with now Rutenberg and Ali coming in with Obrick. So we'll find out what's going to happen there. But, again, you got to get some – you have to start making some decisions on these guys, and I'm sure they've already started talking about, you know, who they want to keep as far as defensive free agents, or at least they want to try to keep as far as free agents go. Because at the end of the day, the players have their choice, and hopefully some of these guys that are free agents for the Falcons decide to come back. But the coaches such as Obrick, such as Nate Oley, such as Mike Rutenberg and Raheem Morris obviously have to put their heads together and make decisions on those kind of things as well. But moving on, because we got some other big news in the NFL as far as the coaching carousel goes. How about the Houston Texans moving on from Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator who was once thought to be and was highly sought after as an NFL head coach, just a year ago decided to stay with the Texans for another year. The offense struggled this year, wasn't as explosive or as good as it was last year, and now he's out as the Texans offensive coordinator. Man, if that doesn't prove that, one, life comes at you fast, and two, the NFL really does stand for not for long, I don't know what else will, because that is wild. I mean, we were talking about wanting Bobby Slowick here as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons before we hired Raheem Morris. He was one of those guys we interviewed. And now he's looking for a job just as offensive coordinator, not even as head coach. He's looking for a job as an OC. So, I mean, that is just wild. And, look, I know they had a down year, but they still were able to make it to the postseason. I know they, you know, I know they end up losing to the, Chiefs in the divisional round, but you still made it to the postseason, won a playoff game. And you just ran up against a Chiefs team that's going back to the Super Bowl for a third straight time. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if it was a – I don't know if this is kind of a just a knee-jerk reaction. And I don't know if this is the Texans feeling like they have to make some sort of change. But I'm not sure if I would have done this because, again, I mean – Bobby Slowick has proven to be good. And again, I know the offense struggle, and I know it's about what have you done for me lately, but this just feels like a little bit of an overreaction to me. I'm going to be honest. It just feels like they're just making a change for the sake of making a change. Now, they also did get rid of their offensive line coach, Chris Strasser. He's out as well. So, some major moves happening with the Houston Texans, and that being that Bobby Slowick is out as the offensive coordinator for the Texans. So, look, I'm sure he'll find a good landing spot, and I'm sure he'll be, you know, highly sought after as an OC, but, man, I'm just really surprised that the Texans decided to make that move again after, you know, even though with the struggles, getting to the postseason, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game, like, that's just tough for me to envision. But again, NFL, not for long. And life comes at you fast. But Bobby Slowick, again, out as the Texans offensive coordinator. And that news was announced by Ian Rappaport on Friday. And then also coming down on Friday, the Dallas Cowboys, they've got their head coach. It's not Mike McCarthy again, we knew it wasn't Mike McCarthy, but it's not Deion Sanders. It's not Kellen Moore coming back. Instead, it is Brian Schottenheimer moving up the ranks. So Friday, the Dallas Cowboys officially announced that Schottenheimer is going to be their next head coach. He joined the Cowboys back in 2022 as a coaching analyst, and then Schottenheimer was promoted to the role of offensive coordinator in 2023 after Kellen Moore left or was fired or whatever you want to call it. And he has spent the last few seasons as the Cowboys offensive coordinator. So He gets promoted to the head coach. And look, this feels like exactly what it is, or this is exactly what it feels like, I should say. A safe move, a move where Jerry Jones can still kind of control everything and do what he wants. And I hate to put it this way, but kind of be the puppeteer with Schottenheimer being the puppet and Jerry Jones still pulling the strings back there. That's what this is. That's what it feels like because that's what it is. So I don't know if this helps any. I mean, is that going to help Dak Prescott? Maybe. I don't know. Are you going to bring in maybe some other weapons? Are you going to get a running back? Are you going to get a reliable running game for the Cowboys? I mean, I don't know. I don't see how this really changes anything for the Cowboys. Unless you bring in some, you know, better personnel, I don't think much is going to change in Dallas. They'll still probably, if they remain healthy, they'll still remain a, you know, solid team in the NFC that maybe makes the playoffs, but with the Commanders, you know, making their jump and making their leap and becoming the contender they are now, who knows? Yeah, they'll probably be fighting for a wild card spot, and they may make the playoffs, and they may win a playoff game, but they'll probably be a divisional round exit at best. That's just what it feels like it's going to be for the Cowboys now. Because, again, it seems like everybody in that division is getting better. Eagles got Saquon Barkley, and they're headed to the Super Bowl. The Commanders were just in the NFC Championship game with the Eagles, and all Dallas did was promote their offensive coordinator to be the head coach. And look, maybe it's the move that they needed, but it doesn't seem like it's going to change a whole lot for them, in my opinion. So it's Jerry Jones to me being Jerry Jones, wanting to have a guy where he can, again, nudge and be like, hey, why don't you do this? Or it's better if it comes from you. Why don't you do this? Or, hey, it would be really nice if we do this. And he's like, okay, I'll do this for you, Jerry, because you're the owner and the general manager and you cut my checks and you can also fire me at any point that you want. I'll do this for you for sure. That's just what it feels like. And that's what it feels like it's been, you know, these last couple of years. So, anywho, congratulations to Brian Schottenheimer. He's the head coach in the NFL. That's something a lot of us cannot say. And we'll see what ends up happening there. And then how about the Bears? They make the move that everybody was waiting on them to make after they hired Ben Johnson to be their head coach. Ian Rappaport tweeted yesterday during the AFC or NFC Championship game, but the Bears reportedly are hiring Dennis Allen, former Saints head coach, but also defensive guru. They are hiring Dennis Allen to be their DC, and everybody was waiting on this one. And the Bears fans are ecstatic, elated this morning as they got one of the best defensive coordinators. Because, look, even though, you know, we don't really care for Dennis Allen, he is a very good defensive coach. He is probably, as a defensive coordinator, one of the best in the league. That's just something you cannot deny him. He is a very good defensive mind, and he is going to Chicago, and he is going to help that defense out for sure. So that was a huge get for the Chicago Bears. They got their offensive mind and head coach in Ben Johnson, and they get one of the best defensive minds in the NFL in Dennis Allen, a former head coach as well. So, you know, Dennis Allen, while he wasn't the best head coach in New Orleans, he can still help out Ben Johnson with some of those things and, you know, some of those adjustments to being a head coach in the NFL. He can help him out with that for sure. So that was for a few reasons, a big get for the Bears. So there you have it, a couple of NFL coaching carousel moves, including a little bit from your Atlanta Falcons. All right, that is going to do it for us here on the Hometown Take on a Monday morning. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson coming up on a Monday edition of The Morning Shift. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 a.m. sharp. Until then, The Morning Shift next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.